A proof of life video of an Australian man who has just been held hostage in the Philippines for more than a year has just emerged. Warren Rodwell opened a shop in the southern Philippines town of Mindanao. Mr. Rodwell was abducted in December last year by six gunmen, apparently from the militant group Abu Sayyaf. To tell us more, we're joined by Professor Damien Kingsbury, Professor of the School of International Political Studies at Deakin University. Damien, good morning.
Good morning, John.
What do we know about Abu Sayyaf?
The Abu Sayyaf group, it's a small Islamist organisation based in the Sulu Archipelago between the southern Philippines and the island of Borneo, Malaysia. It's a small group, about 350 members, quite radical, has a long history of kidnapping, which is one of its primary sources of income. It engages in this sort of activity. So it does kidnap people and it does ransom them. However, it also has been known to execute people who have not had their ransoms paid or had them not paid on time.
And what is the end game or the ambition of such a group, Damien?
Look, the Abu Sayyaf group was a breakaway from the Moro National Liberation Front a couple of decades ago. It was part of an Islamist separatist organisation in the southern Philippines. The successor organisation to the MNLF is the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, and they've recently reached the first part of a peace agreement with the Philippines government for an autonomous region. The Abu Sayyaf group was not a part of that, so they're out on their own. But it's probably important to keep in mind that the Abu Sayyaf group really operates as a quasi-criminal organisation, a sort of a pirate group, if you like, and it's based on a history of piracy that's plagued the Sulu Archipelago for centuries.
So the rapprochement that's been reached between the government and those seeking independence in the southern area, it means nothing to these people?
Yeah, well, essentially, they were not part of the negotiations. They did have the opportunity, and they probably still could come back into the agreement, but that would really defeat their main reason for being, and that is essentially to make money, and that is largely through kidnapping, which is what's happened to Warren Rodwell.
So essentially, it's just a criminal organisation.
Yeah, look, there's a number of organisations in the southern Philippines that are engaging kidnapping for a living. They're professional kidnapping organisations. The Abu Sayyaf group does have a larger Islamist agenda, but it is still essentially a criminal organisation in its method of operation.
So targets would be what, Westerners mainly?
Anybody who's vulnerable, tourists, Westerners, storekeepers, you know, anybody who's got any money, really. So they'll kidnap Filipinos. They've been to Malaysia and kidnap Malaysians. Certainly, foreigners, Westerners are popular because they generally have access to more money. And that's the interesting thing. The video clip which Warren Rodwell was on says that he believed that negotiations had been underway, which would be likely. The issue, I think, is really around the extent of the payment and who's actually going to end up paying it.
Yeah, so, what is the likelihood of him being released?
Well, I'd say if the payment is made, he's likely to be released. That's certainly been the history of the Abu Sayyaf group in the past. However, they will eventually say, look, we're going to give you a deadline. If that deadline's not met, he faces a very high chance of being executed. So I suspect that the proof of life video was part of the negotiation process, that negotiations have gone on and they've said, okay, we're prepared to talk about this, but we need some evidence that Rodwell is alive. The video has been released. He is now shown to be alive, so the negotiations can continue. But, of course, that doesn't mean that they will necessarily end up being successfully concluded.
I mean, you may have no intelligence in this matter, but what sort of money, what sort of amounts are we talking about?
Usually around $1 million. It's not a high figure for a kidnapping. The offers that are made to release are usually around the $400,000 or $500,000 mark, and there's often a negotiation somewhere in between. So somewhere around 800,000, I would think, but it may well be more, and that may be the difficulty at this point.
So who'd be doing the negotiations? Doesn't the federal government have a policy whereby we don't deal with terrorists?
Yes. The Australian government does not pay ransom, and nobody would like to suggest that they would ever go back on that policy. So let's just say that some people who care about Rod Bowles' future are probably negotiating on his part. And look, I dare say his family are involved and others, but it's probably not good to speculate too much on who might be coming up with the money at this stage.
And his background, he was simply a businessman?
Yeah, a little bit of an adventurer, I think. I mean, anybody who lives in that part of the world is. He was kidnapped from memory from Zamboanga, which is in the southwest of Mindanao, and that's been known as Kidnap Central for decades. I mean, there were four or five groups there competing with each other to kidnap people. It's a notoriously dangerous place. So anybody who thinks that they can set up shop there obviously has a bit of an adventurous streak about them. It's a wild part of the world.
Yeah, and so it's largely ungoverned and possibly ungovernable?
There is a government there. There's a provincial government, but it doesn't operate terribly effectively. And the police are not terribly effective, and the kidnap groups, and of which there are a number, as I say, operate, I wouldn't say, you know, without restraint, but they tend to be pretty active, and criminal activity is notorious. I mean, you walk into any store in that part of the world, in Zamboanga, and there's always a guy at the front sitting there with a sawn-off shotgun as the guard for the shop. I mean, that's standard practice. It's a wild part of the world, as I say.
And these roughly 350 members, they'd be known to the government?
Certainly a number of them would be. The junior members probably wouldn't. They're scattered a bit. They're based largely on the island of Basilan in the Sulu Archipelago, but they are scattered across a number of islands, and my guess is that Rod Bowles probably not being held on Basilan, because that would be a bit obvious. If there was any attempt to rescue him, they'd know where to go, but that is all guesswork. So, yeah, there's about 350 members, and they are across a number of islands. So they're broken into quite small groups, operating in groups of about five, six or seven.
It's 20 to 8 here on RN, where we're joined by Professor Damien Kingsbury, Professor of the School of International Political Studies at Deakin University. What would life be like for him over this last 12 months there?
I would think pretty unpleasant. Yeah. He certainly looks thin on the video, so he's being fed, but not probably terribly well. There's a whole range of illnesses which you're probably going to get if you live in that part of the world for any period of time, not least of which would be dysentery. But malaria is rife, dengue fever is rife, and they're both pretty unpleasant. The food that he would be getting would be extremely basic. I would imagine it would be rice supplemented by a few vegetables, and that would be pretty much it. And he would be held in very close circumstances. I don't think he'd have very much freedom to move at all. So things would be pretty miserable. He did say in the video at the end that he really didn't hold out any hope of being released. So I think the last year and a bit in captivity is now starting to take a toll on his psychological state.
Yeah, indeed. Look, thanks very much for joining us this morning, Damien. It's certainly been a bleak Christmas for at least one of us.
Yes, well, let's hope the negotiations are successful and he can be released and join his family back in Australia. Thank you very much,
indeed.
John.
Indeed. Thanks for taking the trouble to join us. That's Professor Damien Kingsbury, Professor of the School of International Political Studies at Deakin University. It's 18 minutes to 8 here on RN Summer Breakfast.